Welcome back. Wednesday, February 1st, 2023. I am Seth Leibson. 602-508-0960 is the number. That's 602-508-0960. It's the way you're not supposed to say it. 602-5080-960. We have Bill, our producer in chief, and we have David, who is our associate producer in today, as it is hump day, and we do that every Wednesday with David and Friday. There's a lot going on, so anything that's on your mind, Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, has just egressed from his meeting at the White House with Joe Biden over the debt limit. We will probably hear some dueling narratives about what took place in that conversation. The FBI did a search today of a third Biden home, his Rehoboth Beach property, which is an odd thing in and of itself to think about when we had been told time and again from Karine Jean-Pierre that there was nothing more to find. Why would the FBI conduct a search weeks after she had repeatedly said there are no more documents to look for, no more documents that would have been classified and in Joe Biden's possession? It's a funny thing about what just may bring down a political candidate or a presidency. Watergate, was it Nixon or his press secretary Ron Ziegler, I don't remember, who referred to it as a third-rate burglary that obviously became a much, obviously, bigger thing. It's why we put and attach the word gate after every scandal. Bob Woodward, who made his journalistic chops in the Watergate investigation, actually is saying some kind of interesting things today in an interview he did about the Russian investigation and the Russian allegations from 2016 and Donald Trump, scolding his fellow journalists for not doing their due diligence when it came to the Christopher Steele memorandum, the Christopher Steele file. He says they didn't do their work and it led to disasters that people bought into, a hoax that was a millstone around the presidency for all 4 years of it. And really, even since, when you think about hijinks and altering an election, there can be but no question that in 2020, this country suffered because of what the media did, the Democratic Party and the media did to alter an election, primarily with the Hunter Biden laptop, but having set the stage to it with the continual denunciations of Donald Trump as an illegitimate president because of Russian interference, which we now find and now know, as many of us knew from the get-go, didn't exist, but too many members of the press and too many in the Democratic Party wanted to press. One wonders if Donald Trump would have been reelected, but for Adam Schiff's and former Director Brennan's continued statements about the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop as Russian disinformation, as a Russian disinformation campaign, and the wholesale swallowing of it by outlets like the Washington Post and CBS and CNN, when it was clearly true and accurate all the way through. One wonders what the midterms of this past November would have looked like had we known about the classified documents that were found about a week before the election, the classified documents that were found at Joe Biden's office that he shouldn't have had, when the country made such a storm 5 months earlier over those kinds of documents found in Donald Trump's residence. One wonders what that election would have looked like last November had the Democrats, had the Biden administration not concealed the revelation that a week before the election, similar classified documents were found to be held inappropriately in an office of Joe Biden's. Andy McCarthy has a pretty good rundown here. I'll get to calls in a moment. Andy McCarthy has a pretty good rundown about the search today at President Biden's beach home. He writes, "This search, to which Biden consented, is occurring nearly 3 months to the day after a batch of highly classified documents was found in Biden's private office at his Washington think tank. It's also happening nearly 2 weeks after the FBI finally searched Biden's Wilmington home and seized classified documents going back to his time in the Senate, which ended 14 years ago. Senators, by the way, to remind, are not permitted to remove classified information from Capitol Hill's SCIF, which is the Sensitive Compartmented Information Facility, where they read and get to look at classified information. They are not allowed to take it out of the SCIF, much less out of the Senate building. Biden did as a senator. The FBI's Wilmington search turned up 6 items worth of classified documents. We don't know, by the way, obviously, if those items are boxes or pieces of paper. The search on January 20th, coming after discoveries of classified information in multiple Biden private locations, the office, the Wilmington garage, the den in the same Wilmington property, established that A, Biden has made a career of mishandling national defense intelligence in a grossly negligent way that makes such conduct a felony, and B, all Biden private locations should be searched, since classified documents could be any place he seems to have set up shop. A few points Andy McCarthy thinks bear keeping in mind. One, Biden apologists are once again putting their best spin on this crisis, claiming that today's search shows the president is being totally cooperative and that he consented to and welcomed and encouraged the search. To repeat, it is commonplace for suspects in a criminal investigation, when there is overwhelming probable cause of crimes that would support the issuance of a search warrant, to consent to their residence and workspaces being searched by law enforcement. Doing so lays the groundwork for seeking prosecutorial leniency. It also enables the suspect to negotiate the terms of the search. We know Biden's lawyers were permitted to witness the FBI search at Wilmington, and presumably that arrangement also obtained at the beach house today. That was not something available to Donald Trump, by the way. Obviously, Biden is in a better position than the usual criminal suspect because he's president. And thus, the executive officials investigating him at the Justice Department and FBI are his subordinates. The fact, nevertheless, remains. Biden has consented to searches not because he wanted to, but because he, had he not done so, special counsel Robert Hur would presumably have sought search warrants. If that had happened, Biden's team would have had to admit that to a federal court that had found probable cause that he had committed felonies. Note, former President Donald Trump has sustained significant political damage from just those similar findings from the executed search warrant of the Mar-a-Lago residence. Point two to keep in mind. It is increasingly obvious that Biden. Was that on my end? Sorry. It is increasingly obvious that Joe Biden, for all his claptrap about transparency, did not intend for the public to find out about this classified information fiasco. The White House did not disclose anything until CBS blindsided the president with its January 9th report. Even when they grudgingly conceded that CBS was accurate in reporting on the November 2nd discovery of classified documents in Biden's private office, Biden officials withheld a critical fact that was not in the CBS report, namely that more classified documents had been found in Biden's Wilmington garage on December 20th. It only made sense to conceal that explosive discovery if the Biden's administration never intended for it to become public. That is, Biden calculated that if he wrote out the CBS report and stressed that his cooperation with authorities made his situation different from Trump's, the press would lose interest. This calculation was wrong, and it went up in smoke on January 12th when additional classified documents were found in the Wilmington den and the earlier garage discovery came to light. The point of all this is that the administration was caught flat-footed by the January 9th CBS report. If Biden, as he claims, always intended to be self-reporting and transparent and disclose things, this story would not have been handled the way it was handled. It would have been revealed before the election, or at least a week after the election, or perhaps the month after the election. It wasn't. It was 2 months after the election. There's more to say here. And by the way, I didn't mention the other big political news on our side today. Nikki Haley looks like she's putting her hat in the ring to run for president. What is your thought on that? We'll take your calls on anything on your mind when we come right back. Number is 602-508-0960. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. John is in Peoria. Hello, John.
Hi, Seth. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Everything is good, thank God, buddy.
Good.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you're aware of this story yet or not. I saw it in the Daily Mail. Do you ever read that publication?
It's a great publication. Yeah, I should recommend it more, and I should read it more. You know, it's one of these things I need to add it to my daily reading. I get stories from it all the time from other sources, from other people like yourself, and I always think I really ought to add it to my morning reading. You're good to promote it.
Thank you, sir. And the best way to do it is it's filled with ads, but if you get a certain browser, I don't know if you want me to mention it or not, it's easy. It eliminates all those ads.
Go ahead. Really, go ahead. What do I care?
It's the Brave browser.
The Brave browser. Okay. All right.
Yeah. But anyhow,
I got a thumbs up from Chief Producer Bill on it. I think he uses it. He just gave you a two thumbs up on that.
Yeah, it's a great browser.
I guess David and I are behind. We will catch up to you guys. All right. Thanks for sharing, Bill. Okay. All right.
But anyhow, this story was in the other day. The clerk that was just elected to the school board of the Peoria School Board, are you...
Yeah, I'm a little bit aware of where I think you're going. If it's that science curriculum we're talking about, is that what you wanted to mention?
Yes,
yeah, go ahead. Tell the audience. Yeah, tell the audience what's going on there.
Yeah, here's the deal. And she did a really great thing. She leaked the fact that they're considering a couple of different texts, biology texts, and they're biology textbooks. And one that they're really leading to, I didn't realize the Peoria School Board is as liberal as this. But anyhow, I wouldn't think it would have been, but anyhow, a lesson learned here. That text says, oh, there's multiple sexes.
Yeah, I have a copy of it in front of me. Now, just so people are aware, they haven't adopted it yet. It is for consideration. This is why it is so important.
Yeah,
this is why it's so important to run for school board, and why I love those Arizona Women of Action who have done such a good job of fielding and training candidates to do so, because this is where curriculum decisions are made, and this is where, that is to say, textbook decisions are made. This is a textbook being considered in the Peoria Unified School District, where it says in this textbook, we know that sex is not a binary state. Sex determination is an active area of research that should yield a sophisticated understanding. Yes. Yeah.
Thank God for that.
I love the part where they say we know. We know that sex is not a binary state. I love that. I love the certainty, you know? I love the certainty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, it's based in zero fact, that statement.
Yeah. Yeah, there's more in here. The biochemical, physiological, and anatomical features associated with males and females are turning out to be more complex than previously realized. Yeah. Okay.
Give me a break.
Yeah, give me a break. This is man's attempt to overcome nature. This is, as Whitaker Chambers would have once put it, the second man's second oldest faith, that we shall be as gods.
That's you were reading my mind, because that's exactly what I was going to say. Man wants to be God.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We are thinking that we can be above nature. If we're above nature, begs the political philosophical question, John. What's above us? What guides us?
Yeah, really?
No, really. No, and the answer, it turns out, is nothing but whim and power. Nothing but force and will, in other words. There is no guiding principle for us or we humans. And it begs the question of what does it, you know, even mean to be a human? Nature means, by the way, the word nature comes from the word to generate, to beget, to give birth. This is what we're tampering with here, the entire understanding of what a human being is. Once we change that, which, as you know, and many in the audience know, ideologies have tried to do over the centuries, from whether it's Marxism or Nazism, you know, once we change the notion of what a human being is, we change the notion of the equality of human beings, and we start having humans treating other humans like animals. That's what happens when we disorient the difference between man and nature and man and animal. That's what happens. That's where we're headed here. And by the way, if you think we're not turning these children into animals, by the way, we're teaching them this crap, and I'm sorry for my French there, John, that's exactly what we're doing.
No, excellent statement, Seth. That so well put what you just said. It's profound what you just said. And I'm glad that woman had the courage to say no and leaked, you know, because they were just going to try to sneak it in. You know what I mean? But now it was a calling car, a calling to action.
Yes, it is.
And I bet you any money in May, that Peoria school board meeting is going to be jam-packed to dissent to that textbook being chosen.
Yeah, and I don't know, in fact, maybe someone else in the listening world here will. I don't know what the law is on whether, you know, leaking it was the wrong thing to do or not. I just don't know. One would think that in dealing with our public schools, and one would think with the open meeting laws and open access laws in this state, that we all should be allowed to see what the school board is debating when it comes to the curricula we are paying for. One would think that. I don't know.
Isn't there sunshine laws?
That's what I would think. Now, you know, someone out there probably will know that better than I. But if there is an effort to make a case against this school board, this newly elected school board member, for doing what she did, that effort will be fought vigorously by certainly the army in this audience and certainly an army of attorneys on our side who will shut it down. I hope. I pray.
Thank you for bringing it up.
I'm glad you did. This story has made a blip here and there as national news, and This is why they would not want it leaked. They hate sunlight. They hate the exposure of this. And this is why, you know, you see what I call the Democratic or left wing or Democratic left, the Democratic left dialectic, which is A, deny the thing we're accusing you of is happening. B, once it's no longer deniable, tell us we're wrong for criticizing it, and then C, mandating it. Here's some Nat King Cole and Maynard Ferguson. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. John Dombrowski is the president and founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. His website, if you'd like to reach out to him, is Grand Canyon Planning. com. He's also the host of his own radio show right here, heard every Saturday morning at 7 a.m., The Word on Wealth. How are you today, John?
Fantastic, Seth. Thank you.
That Paul McCartney song, Jet, that we came into, it's interesting for two things. Here's our culture part of this conversation.
Go.
One, Jet is named after his dog. He had a dog named Jet.
Okay.
And the second, it's one of a handful of songs with made-up lyrics. Ah Meta is a made-up lyric known as a reverse Mondegreen.
Oh, well,
yeah,
that's interesting.
A reverse Mondegreen. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know what a Mondegreen is.
A Mondegreen, I'm glad you asked. This was not rehearsed, and I'm glad you asked.
You had to say it twice.
Yeah, I'm losing. That was too funny. That was really well done, John. A Mondegreen is a misheard lyric.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. Like in that Bruce Springsteen song, Blinded by the Light, and so forth.
Wow.
All right. So,
Well, that's
John,
more interesting than what I have to talk
well,
about.
Depending. If you're interested in the economy and making money and preserving your retirement, this is interesting.
Okay.
The feds did what you kind of suspected and outlined they would do yesterday. Again, what does it mean for the average American?
Very good. Yeah, the Fed did raise today a quarter percentage point, 25 basis points. And they, you know, it's interesting because the thought was, and some of the comments were a little bit more what they would consider dovish instead of hawkish,
right?
So
right.
a little bit easier on the talk. They are still touting, though, that they want to get their target inflation down to 2%, and they said there's still a long way to go to get to 2%.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still, you know, reserving the right.
Yeah, the
to
ability.
Continue
yeah, right.
to
yeah.
raise rates yeah. And be a little bit harsher. But this will affect the average American if you've got credit card debt. Seth, this will affect those credit card interest payments that you have.
Yeah.
Your car loan, if you're going to be going to buy a new car or a used car. That's certainly going to be higher. Those lines of credit.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people out there that may have a home equity line of credit because it is a good strategy. If you have high interest on a credit card and you're trying to get that paid down at 18% or whatever that rate is, home equity lines of credit might be in the 7% range.
Right.
And that could be a little bit of relief for you. And it's possible, depending on your total loans on real estate, your personal
balance,
house, and
yeah.
so forth,
mm-hmm.
that you may even be able to get a deduction for the interest on that, on your taxes. You could talk to your tax advisor about that. But if you use your HELOC to pay off those credit cards and rip the credit cards up so you don't do it again, then you have the availability to pay at a much lower interest rate, which will help you get it paid off sooner, which is always a good thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it also could affect those savings accounts. If you have a savings account, that you may be able to get a little more interest on those bank accounts that you have.
Okay.
So that's a positive. So the negatives are if you've got debt, it's going to affect that debt. If it's adjustable rate mortgage on the house, it's going to affect that as well. But otherwise, you know, it could be a positive if you just have money in the bank.
Let me ask you this a terminology question.
Mm-hmm.
Meta, M-E-T-A, mm-hmm. which we know often
previously
enough as
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook. Mm-hmm. Meta announced today that its earnings were going to beat expectations, I believe, and they're engaging in buybacks. What's a buyback?
Okay, a lot of companies, what they'll do with excess money that they have,
rather
than either if they have no place for it to invest it or whatever it might be, they may purchase their own stock back. So, you know, there's a number of outstanding shares that each publicly traded company has, and those shares are owned by somebody, right?
Right.
If you're an owner in shares of any stock, say Meta, and if Meta announces they're going to buy back, and they mentioned $40 billion in stock buybacks, basically what they do is they buy that stock back and they would retire it, and that takes it out of circulation, which ultimately reduces the number of shares that are available out there
mm-hmm.
on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And the company value didn't change. So if I have less shares, that means the per share value would increase.
Uh-huh.
So when a company announces a big buyback like this with profits that they have, that's a positive for shareholders.
There
and
you
we
go.
Did see the stock today after hours really jumped up quite a bit, about 17%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
that's a good one.
That's
okay.
a positive. You know, there's a lot of people out there, though, that don't like that companies take profits and buy back stock. They think that corporations are making too much money. So that's something we're hearing from.
We'll pick up on that conversation next we visit. That's an interesting debate. All right, I got to let you put in the tie here.
You bet. Securities and Advisory Services offered through Creative One Securities LLC, member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grant King, Planning Associates LLC, and Creative One Securities LLC, and not affiliated. Thank you, Seth.
You do that so that it's not a Mondegreen. You do it very well.
Very good.
Talk to you soon, John.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Every Wednesday, we check in with our constitutional election law expert, Brett Johnson. He's a partner with the law firm of Snell & Wilmer, swlaw.com, based here in Phoenix, offices around the country. Brett, how are you today?
Good, Seth. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every once in a while, let's put on your election expertise hat here for a minute. Every once in a while, we hear filtering through the news and the various parties and sometimes outside groups, efforts to change the way we we engage in our primaries here. And you hear phrases like closed primaries, open nonpartisan primaries, ranked choice voting, that kind of thing. Is that debate going on in Arizona? And if so, what are the ones that we should know most about or be most informed on?
I think the debate's happening not only in Arizona. I do think it's happening across the country. When I talk to my colleagues, election attorneys all over the country, everybody's kind of talking about this, especially even if you talk to the political parties.
Yeah.
And by the way, all persuasions, right?
Right.
So the Democrat attorneys are talking about this just as much as Republican attorneys and the Libertarians. So it is definitely a conversation piece. And as I think the perception, at least how the conversation goes, as the perception that the political parties are no longer catering to a centric view and moving off to either the left or the right, and then that means that there's the center of the states or the country don't have really a choice.
Yeah.
This always gets more and more into the conversation. But for Arizona, this has been a debate that has been going on for a very long time
and
tried to get on the initiative ballot, et cetera.
What's the one that is most often pushed here in Arizona? Is it a closed primary, or is it ranked choice voting?
Right. So we have a kind of a closed primary here. Closed primary is definitely for the presidential election.
Right. Right.
And again, there's you could have different election schemes for different races too. So especially if they're nonpartisan. So
right.
let's just put this is a general conversation
okay.
here. But so the closed primary is obviously presidential. We have an open primary, but if you have designated a political party, and right now in Arizona, that's Republican, Libertarians, and Democrat.
Uh-huh.
If you have registered in either of those three, you have to vote in those primaries.
Right.
You could obviously switch, and
right.
a lot of people do,
right.
but those are the three. The independents, though, if they go to a polling location on the primary day, they can request a ballot from one or the other of the parties,
right.
or there's a certain date where you could ask for a mail-in.
Right.
This, by the way, is background. Many people might remember before there was the Maricopa County problems in the general election, there were the Pinal County problems in
right.
the primary election.
Right. Right.
And that's what one of the excuses or one of the explanations was, is that too many independents showed up asking for a Republican ballot
right.
that they weren't.
They didn't have enough Republican ballots to satisfy the non-registered, the non-affiliated voter. Right. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. So what is being pushed here in almost every election, it didn't get on the ballot this time, it has been on the ballot before, is the top two.
Right.
Right. And
right.
so you would get rid of political party primaries. Everybody would be on the primary ballot. And then the top two would move on to the general. Ironically, back in grade school, what do we call this? We call it a runoff.
Yeah.
Right? But now, in this day and age, we
do you know why I don't like it? I'll tell you why I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it because in the case, I think they have this in California, if I'm not mistaken. They do. In the case
yes.
of Dianne Feinstein's last election, I guess she's not going to run again, but in the last election, people had the choice between Dianne Feinstein and another Democrat. There was no Republican
right.
on the ballot running for Senate.
That's right. But well, there was in the primary.
Right. But not in the general.
Not in the general. It was just that. And I mean, in one way around that, though, I mean, just being academic here, because I'm kind of against it, too.
Yeah.
But is the Alaska version.
Yeah.
Where the top four would move up
okay.
to the general election.
Okay.
So you could have, literally 20 people and you'd have four. And that's what Alaska did in this last election for sure. So the one thing that what's one of the attractions, why do people especially
I was just going to say, what problem is it solving?
Well, it definitely the taking care of the spectrums, right? That
okay.
The people are the candidates are getting too extreme on either side. But the other issue, which kind of you may makes a little bit of sense, right? Because I choose to be in my political party. It's almost like my club, my church, whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
The state doesn't get to pay for if I decide to join the Kiwanis Club and I want to run for president.
Right. Right.
Not that I equate the Republican Party to the Kiwanis, but you know what I mean.
I do.
But the state pays for the primary election, and it's millions and millions of dollars that a lot of people are scratching their head, especially since the largest second group in Arizona is independent.
Yeah.
The independents are like, why am I paying for a political party's election? So you kind of at least see that argument, especially from an economic sense, as to when is this going too far. So that's, those are the kind of the issues that go back and forth.
The ranked choice is the one that I hear a lot about taking place and a lot of people seeming to want to have a resistance to it. Is that the most controversial of them?
It is, and I'll be honest with you, the reason I think it's controversial is it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah,
right?
Probably, yeah.
Because, and there's many different versions of ranked choice where, say that there's four people running, right? Mm-hmm. You count up all the ones, and then, okay, that person didn't win. Well, let's see who got the second choice, and you count up all the twos, and then the threes and the fours. And in theory, you're eventually going to get to a consensus point where somebody, either one, two, three, or four, has the majority of votes. So that's one way. It's more of a consensus model. The other way is that one stays one, two stays two, three and four get kicked off, and then their ballots are redistributed against the first and the second candidate, and then you have to get to 50%. So it kind of becomes a mathematical equation. You have to kind of scratch your head. New Hampshire does this, and a few other states.
Alaska, maybe, yeah.
Alaska, because, and they have a hybrid model, right?
Yeah.
So top four plus ranking. So that's, it's kind of an interesting model they have there.
I guess we do top two in the sense that when it's nonpartisan theoretically, but if you think about our mayor and city council races, at least in Phoenix, right? That would be considered a top two, wouldn't it?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
The nonpartisan elections across the board are in that same fashion.
Okay.
You have to get to
okay.
a certain percentage. But now sometimes you don't have to get to the 50%.
Right, if someone beat, yeah, right. If someone,
just the majority.
Right.
And so seriously, somebody can win with 25% of the vote,
right,
representing everybody. And that's one of the concerns, whole different segment on that, is municipal elections that are not on the normal general election scheme.
Yep.
And you have a much lower turnout.
Yep.
So there's always that concern.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Brett, I just think that a lot of these, and, you know, say whatever you want, but I think a lot of these are solutions looking for problems. Honestly.
I agree.
Okay, you do agree. Okay, good.
I do.
This
I
is
do.
Why
I
we
agree.
Can't have nice things. Just keep it where it is.
I agree. The one issue I kind of see, though, is the government paying for it. That's you got to give you a little bit questionable.
But you know what? We do that on so many things. We do that on so many
True.
Things. People's property taxes who don't have kids or children are going to pay for the public schools. I mean, you know, we have to have a government we can live under, right?
That's true. And
Fair
and
enough.
The government is the best.
I just talked you out of your libertarianism. Oh, no. Brett Johnson from Snell and Wilmer. Bless you, sir, and thank you as always.
Thank you.
You betcha. I am Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. I should give out the website, swlaw.com. We'll be right back. Folks, you've heard me talking about why refi for a while now, and if you have questions about them and how they have been able to help and serve people in the area who have invested with them and made great returns with their investments, they encourage you to call them, and they will happily put you in touch with any number of their really satisfied customers. Give them a call at 888-YREFI-34, 888-YREFI-34. They're happy to put you in touch with their happy customers. And think about your IRA while we're talking about this. Would you like your IRA to be earning strong fixed interest rates and not be dependent on the stock market? Did you know you can invest with YREFI through an IRA or other qualified funds? And you can keep your investment, including the high fixed interest rates you earn, tax deferred. That's right. Your money can stay in your IRA, and you don't have to pay taxes on the income that you earn. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, REFY.com. It's a very high fixed interest rate. I am Seth Leibson. And before, we have a minute left. Well, good. A couple minutes. Let me point this out with regard to the call we had from John in Peoria earlier talking about what's going on in the Peoria School Board. The criticism, of course, with that crazy non-scientific science curriculum they're debating, you know, people will be called people who will resist it and oppose it and thinks that children should only be taught about the male and female sexes will be called Neanderthals and anti-science, just as Ron DeSantis in Florida has been called someone who doesn't want to teach black people black history. That's what Kamala Harris said about Ron DeSantis. That's what Karen Jean-Pierre said about Ron DeSantis, because he is opposed to a certain curriculum there, and it's nonsense. Andrew Sullivan got his hands on the history curriculum that Ron DeSantis has put the X mark over. And here are the writers, Andrew Sullivan points out, that are presented in each section. For those schooled in political philosophy, you'll know some of these names. Franz Fanon, he's a Marxist Algerian who defended the use of violence. Ami Cesare, a proud supporter of the Soviet Union. Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, Black Panther terrorists. Angela Davis, communist supporter of East Germany and the Cold War, among other things. Kimberly Crenshaw, who came up with the CRT idea of intersexuality. Patricia Hill Collins, who has argued that democratic institutions, no matter who runs them, are not capable of altering social inequalities, which is a definition of CRT. The point is this. The point is this. You could include these extreme leftists, of course, to teach about what that line of thought is, but they should at least be balanced with other historians and other philosophers as well, shouldn't they? They should be countered with something that at least substantiates or defends, shall we say, the West or the Republican form of government or democracy. It shouldn't just be exclusive Marxist ideology, should it? No, it should not. And that's what DeSantis is against.